Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 112. In this show, we're going to be talking about influencer marketing and marketing strategies, a 101 guide. If you've got a membership website and you're looking at influencing marketing, I've got my great partner of crime. I've got Nico in the house. She's feeling a bit better from last week, but she's got no hot water. So
it's fine.
It's always something.
There's always
something, right?
Yeah, it's always
I think anyone listening to this understands that it's always something in life, isn't it? But we're all here today, so that's what counts.
Yeah, right. So would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers, Nicole?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Nicole Ouellette. I own a company called Technical Support, where I do a lot of online marketing stuff, mainly with a lot of small businesses. And I have a couple of co-working spaces as well. So yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Right. So like I say, in this episode, we're going to be talking about how you might utilize influence the marketing, some of the pitfalls, some of the tips and insights that will help you get some successes, with an emphasis, a flavor about how it kind of fits in if you've got a membership website and you're trying to market a learning website. Should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Coming back, folks. Before we go into the great points of the show, I just want to point out we've got a great list of resources if you're looking to build a membership website in 2025. Plugins, services, loads of great resources and some special offers from our major sponsors. To get this great list, all you have to do is go over to wptonic.com/newsletter. WPTonic.com newsletter, and you can sign up for the newsletter, and then you will be taken to this online resource to consume all the free goodies. What more could you ask for? I say probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get there.
Hey, it's a great resource.
Yes,
if you haven't downloaded it yet.
Yeah, get loads of people downloading it, and they don't get any complaints, so they must find it useful. So, Nico, I'm in your hand. You've got a bit more experience with how are we going to introduce this subject to our beloved tribe, Nico?
Yeah. So, at the start, I just want to say this is a part one of two. So, what we're going to do today is kind of get into sort of how this works in general and more strategy, and we're going to get into more details in part two of this. So, if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, wow, like, I really want to know more, just know that there's that other stuff coming in. But the word influencer, I think, was added to the dictionary in 2017. And the idea of an influencer, you probably have heard of it. Sometimes they call themselves also content creators. So a content creator or an influencer is somebody who makes content on their own platform. So it could be somebody, for example, who has a podcast and a YouTube channel, you know, who makes content, for example. Or it could be somebody who, you know, only posts on, you know, TikTok or something like that. But the idea is they have at least one platform and they are posting content that they create themselves. And it's typically around some kind of niche. So somebody might be an influencer about home organizing or cleaning, or somebody might be an influencer about technology or AI, or somebody might be an influencer about any number of things. And the idea is that they're building an audience and they're creating content around this topic. And what companies have gotten hip to over the last few years is, wow, these people are making content. So they clearly understand how to make content. And they're also building an audience. And I know what my audience is. And it seems like our audiences are similar. So why not to get my product or service in front of some new people? Why don't I work with one of these people? They can create content about my product or service. I get in front of their audience. They get paid. And, you know, it's theoretically all benefits all around. I don't know. Jonathan, do you have anything to add? Am I like missing any like sort of subtleties of influencers in a general way and how they work?
It kind of intertwines with affiliate marketing, but there's kind of different model deals, isn't there? And it's all kind of mishmashed together in my mind, but you might disagree with that, but it's all kind of mishmashed in my view of it all, kind of. But they're very separate in some ways, but they're also kind of linked, aren't they?
Well, if you're making content, like if let's say I'm an influencer about podcasting, I'm not, but let's say I was, I could have, you know, be posting content about making podcasts and growing your podcast and stuff across multiple platforms. And I might be approached by a podcast hosting company, for example, and say, hey, like, we'll pay you or we'll work with you. You know, what are your rates? You know, and I could say, oh, these are my rates for creating content. You know, I will, you know, charge you, you know, $300 per post. And I typically do, you know, I would have a rate sheet, right? And the company might hire me to create content around their service. But the other way that these content creators or these influencers get paid is they will often work out affiliate deals. And you will see this, for example, if you're on TikTok, you'll see people making TikTok shop videos, or you'll see people talking about a piece of software, you know, a product, and they'll say, you know, use my promo code X, you know, or go to this particular link and you'll get a special, you know, discount, you'll get a free gift, something like that. There's some incentive for you to take that extra effort to put it in. And so what that typically is an affiliate. So they are getting a sort of percentage or a flat rate per sale. So a lot of content creators and influencers, some will, you know, be paid directly by the brand to create content, but some will also work in terms of finding products and services they like and making, you know, content around this affiliate and, you know, and this idea that when they make a sale, they're going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
I think most people do both. And if you're thinking about your favorite influencer, you probably have noticed content related to both.
Yes. I've been approached to post on my, I'm a kind of hybrid because I'm using podcasting, I'm using this podcast. I use my YouTube channel because I have a physical company that has a service that might be useful to my target audience. And I use the podcasting as a mechanism to show Google that I have some expertise or influence. And that's why I use the YouTube channel, and both are building, but I'm using it as a marketing tool. So I kind of see myself as a hybrid, because the reason why I say that is I'm not just relying on advertising. I do take sponsorship for the podcast, but it just about covers the expenses of hosting the podcast and getting the podcast edited, and some other expenses. So it just covers my expenses for the year. And that's all I'm looking for, because I will take sponsorship, and I've had people approach me for writing posts and that, and I have politely refused, because I do a lot of posting, a lot of content for the WP Tonic website, but I produce all that content, and I also have a couple writers that help me. But I've just chosen that because I just didn't, and I've had a couple people offer me a fair bit of money to sponsor the show, but plus they wanted to appear on the show regularly, plus they wanted editorial control on that, and that was just a bridge too far for me, Nicole.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, I think what you're bringing up is a really good point, which is that sometimes people create content, you know, not just to, you know, get paid by other companies, but to grow their own company or to grow their influence on a topic. So maybe the word for you would be like a thought leader, you know, and yeah, you sell your own products as part of that. But, you know, your primary mechanism for, you know, running your business isn't to have other companies pay you to promote their product.
Yeah, I just put this concept to you because I see is there's kind of, and there's probably even more subsections, but there seems to be the influencers that got millions of followers, and what, even though it's different, it has some of the concept of previous mass marketing, especially television. They have well-known brands or brands that want that, you know, there's influencers in the beauty fashion that have millions of followers. And a brand approaches them and it's aimed at a very large target audience because they have a large following. And then there's people like me that are kind of in niches, and we take kind of more sponsorship deals that are more kind of aimed not at such a broad audience, because we haven't got a broad audience. We've got a micro audience compared to millions, but it's more focused. Am I blabbing or did that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And the other thing that, you know, there's multiple studies and I can't cite any of them right now, but basically these smaller audiences, they have better engagement. So a lot of times they're a better value.
Oh dear. Yeah, Nicole's right. So on our list, we've got audience targeting, higher conversions and brand awareness. I was saying before we went live to Nicole, that I kind of saw it, this could have some real benefit for somebody starting their membership journey, their membership business, building their membership by approaching partners and like that is in their industry and also already have an established membership website, but your course, your product, is in the same industry but isn't a direct competitor to their course, but they've already got established YouTube channel, they've got established TikTok, or they've got some audience, and by offering them a package they might consider promoting your course and you get access to a targeted audience. And also the influencer of that individual. What do you reckon about all that, Nicole?
Yeah, well, and I think you're also, in addition to getting access to their audience, you're also getting somebody who is trusted, you know, in that field to talk about your product and to, you know, and so it's not just you saying how great your membership is, it's somebody else who's an expert in the field, who's kind of outside looking in. Yes, they're getting, you know, compensated in some way for it, but at the same time, their audience trusts them and knows that they wouldn't endorse, you know, a membership platform for, you know, or a membership service that they didn't think was valuable. So if you've ever tried to build an audience online, you know how long it takes to not only grow that audience, but to gain their trust. So most influencers, because also this is how they make their money, or at least, you know, some percentage of their money, they don't want to make their audience distrust them. So if they're going to talk about a product, it's something they theoretically, you know, really, you know, like and use themselves and all of that. So I think there's a few kind of levels of benefits to working with influencers, whether it's, like you said, that you're kind of exchanging money for a certain like kind of post, or whether it's in a kind of an affiliate relationship or a mutually beneficial relationship.
So let's put some meat on this.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we can roll over into the second half because we've got at least 10 minutes. Let's say I was a voice coach and I was specializing in stage fright. And I had a reputation. I had actually helped a lot of people one-to-one come to me in person, been recommended to me, and I had helped those people. Let's say that maybe I'd done a couple of TED Talks on it, TEDx talks on it, and I've done some speaking gigs. So I've got some authority in the subject, right? And I built a course, and I need to start marketing it myself on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram. But I was thinking of approaching people in the music industry, in the educational music sector, that had education YouTube channels, TikTok, trying to teach people to play a particular instrument, public performance, that might be suffering from stage fright. What do I need, based on your experience, to develop, and how do I approach these people, and how do I identify them?
Well, I think part of it is you want to figure out what you want to get out of it. So maybe you say, okay, my goal with this is to, like, let's say, you know, that, you know, when people get to your website or they follow you for a while, you convert like 10% of them into your stage fright membership. That's not a very good name, but let's just call it that. So, I mean, what you could do is you could say, okay, if I can convert 10%, okay, if I got 50% more traffic to this site, like, you know, I could obviously theoretically make more money. So what I might do, I mean, I think approaching musicians is a great idea. I think anybody who, you know, is trying to get good at a craft, there's getting good at the craft, and then there's the dealing with the crowd part, which is separate. Like, obviously, you know, you want to learn to play the piano, you want to learn to play it well, but it's one thing you can play it well by yourself in your room, and it's another thing to play in front of, you know, hundreds of people. So, yeah, I think that you could approach those kind of people. What I would do is I would find some of these music educators and I would watch some of their content. I would see, you know, do they make content about other brands besides, you know, their particular music course? Because that shows me that they would be open maybe to working with me. And I would see, like, okay, like, oh, it seems like they've talked about, you know, this sheet music company, you know, pretty consistently. Okay. You know, and I can start kind of looking at sort of these brands that they're working with and see, okay, like, this seems reputable or whatever. I think what you could do is you could send them a message and say, you know, hey, you know, I really like your content. I see that you've worked with a sheet music company. You know, we're looking for, you know, influencers to promote our, you know, my stage fright, you know, course, my stage fright membership. I forget what we're calling it, but a lot of times these people will have some kind of rate sheet or policy or way that they work with people. So what I would do is assume that they might have that already. So I would ask them. And if they didn't, they might come back at you and say, oh, I would be interested in that. Like, you know, what would that look like? And then it kind of puts it on you to sort of come up with what you're sort of wanting from them and what you're, you know, maybe willing to pay or exchange for that. So yeah, I mean, obviously, as you're hearing this, you're probably like, wow, that's going to take a lot of time. And I mean, there's a reason that these like influencer directories and stuff like exist. And whenever you search influencer marketing, your first like four or five Google results are like paid services that do that kind of thing. But the reality
is... Well, what's your attitude towards these services?
I mean, obviously anybody who makes an introduction is going to take a cut, right? Like if you have an agent, right? And they like introduce, you know, and a lot of them take a pretty big cut, in my opinion, for having a database that they lightly maintain. But I can also see if you had absolutely no idea what you were doing and using a tool like that would save you some money to like try it from an initial campaign or two. I'm not entirely against it. I personally think they're a little overpriced, but I guess that's my opinion.
You're kind of you're saving time through the transaction of money. I'm presuming people that are starting out, because there is a lot of people out there, Nicole, that have the knowledge, have the ability through their course to help people.
Yeah.
But they've just built it and they've spent a lot of time trying to find the right platform.
Yeah.
Make the videos, assemble the lessons. There's a lot of in here, but they haven't thought how we're actually going to market this course.
Right.
And without a marketing strategy, without SEO, without a content, without some ongoing methodology that can get people into a funnel, it's very online. So, but there is loads of people. And I think influence marketing is one of the ways that you can get the ball rolling. You can get that first 100, 200 in a way that you can do the outreach and it can be affordable. Yep. I think we're going to go for our break and mid-break. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask Nicole how much these different kind of influence might want and we go into some of the other things that you need to know. Hopefully you found the first half useful. I'm sure you did, actually. And we're just putting some ideas into your mind, just bringing some concepts that you might find helpful. So we're going for our mid-break, folks, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. I'm going to throw it over to Nicole. She's going to tell us about her fabulous media platform that saves you a load of time. And it's fun as well. Back over to you, Nicole.
Yeah. So if you are trying to do social media marketing and you're frustrated by having to make videos because you don't know what you're supposed to make an Instagram reel or a TikTok or a YouTube short about, I have a service for you called trendascend.com. What I do is I track trends across YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. I find a trending idea that you can use across platforms, and I send it to you in a convenient text message twice a week. So basically, by doing these trends, you're posting 8 videos a month. And whenever I post a trending video, it gets hundreds of views in a way that my other content doesn't seem to, because these platforms really like these fun, lighthearted trends. So if you're looking to add to your marketing mix and do more successful sort of short form video marketing, check out trendascend.com.
Right. You say that, you see, kind of, you know, you're in a particular, like, let's say you're a voice coach and you sign up to your fabulous service. You're going to be doing videos around music and about, but you do the hard work about finding popular styles, little, how the people are doing the video, and you can adapt that style to how you're doing your particular TikTok or video. Is that?
Yep.
I got it right, have I?
Yeah. And I just send you the link to the trending audio on the platform. If you want, you can subscribe to TikTok emails and Instagram emails and YouTube emails. And then you can track, you can look at the trends and you can watch a bunch of them and say, oh, this one's kind of silly. Oh, this is a complicated dance. I certify all of my trends to be middle-aged woman approved. You are, like, anytime I roll my eyes when I see one, I am not going to send that to you. So just know that these trends are fun, but they're doable by a regular person.
That's great. And it will save you a ton of time and help you get some real results from these social media platforms.
Absolutely.
So it's a win-win.
Absolutely.
So let's go on our journey around influencer marketing, which I was really looking forward to this discussion, because I think I myself should engage in this around WP Tonic to some extent, and find some people and do some of this. Also, I'm thinking of buying some email lists as well, but maybe not next week, so we'll still be talking about this subject, but next subject maybe have a show where we discuss that, but I will have to ask Nicole her thoughts on that before we do a show.
Love it.
But I'm really thinking about this myself. So let's say you've built a nice course. Let's say you've listened to Jonathan and you've done your minimum viable course and you've done your pre-launch where you've got half a dozen to a dozen people to go through the course and you've really interviewed them properly and got their honest input about which parts of the course they really liked, the bits they didn't, the things that they really found useful, the bits they didn't, which will give you a roadmap about which bits of the courses you should expand and maybe the bits that you should remove. Because I've never known anybody, no matter how much experience, that's developed a course or developed an online product. There were elements of WP Tonic. I'll give you an example, Nicole. I found a really great partner that hosted video, and I was going to have the hosted part as part of my package, and it enabled me to white label their service, and it was going to be part of WP Tonics. And when I was getting my first, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was getting my first customers, they had no interest, because they had almost all of them had already bought a video hosting service. Vimeo or one of the others. We do offer it. We offer a great plugin, but we work with a partner called bunny.net, and it's about one-fifth to one-third the cost of using something like Vimeo. But and that's worked great. So I kind of removed that. I spent a lot of time researching that and talking to different suppliers, and the initial interest wasn't there. So that's why you want to do a minimum, a beta or a pre-launch.
Yeah.
To find out what elements, because I've known loads of people and they say, oh, they're going to rave about this part of the course, and they've got no interest in the bits that you think they're not really interested in, they rave about. And that will tell you which parts you should really highlight in your verbiage on your homepage and on your key landing pages. So that's why it's important, folks. It's like one of marketing, really. But I'm not making out. I'm just telling you what I've learnt the hard way, so you don't have to make those mistakes. So this age, so we're not talking about, we couldn't afford big celebrities and influencers. So we're talking about nano or micro influencers. Like our example of the voice coach who had a course about stage fright. They're going to be a... What size of YouTube channel? This just use subscribers. What size of YouTube channel? What size of TikTok? What size of Instagram influencer in subscription size would maybe with an individual entrepreneur of some budget, but not a large budget, what size can they approach and roughly how much is this going to cost them?
So I pulled some numbers and I just used the defining numbers that I found on one of the sources, which is, you know, Shopify's big study that they did on influencers a couple of year or so ago. So a nano influencer is somebody with 500 to 10,000 followers. And obviously that's a pretty big range, but the idea is that is like, it's a small audience. And what's interesting is when I was looking this up is that if you look at Instagram posts, so, you know, if you had an Instagram audience that size, how much would you charge per post? And it ranges from, you know, in this study, $10 to $100 per post. Now, you got to keep in mind that, like, you're obviously not going to hire an influencer to do a singular post. The idea is that you have to do, just like with all this marketing stuff, right? You have to do, like, repeat messaging. And the idea is that you want the influencer's audience to grow to trust your brand. So like they need to hear about you multiple times. So like this isn't a singular costing that we're talking. I just want to kind of give people an idea of kind of numbers. But so 500 to 10,000 Instagram seems, you know, the average person, you know, between $10 and $100 per post. TikTok, same size audience, $5 to $25 per post. YouTube, same size audience, $20 to $200 per post. So TikTok being kind of the lower end of things and YouTube being kind of on the higher end of things.
So you say a post, that's them making a video. Is that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's them making a...
Yeah.
Yep. Although with Instagram, like I said, those, so these different format or these different platforms have different formats, right? So with YouTube, it's kind of all, you know, there's short videos and there's longer videos. I guess you could do a community post, but I'm not really sure who would pay to be on someone's community tab. But TikTok obviously is video. But with Instagram, you know, there can be, you know, stories and, you know, in-feed content that can be a still, you know, a still image as well. So so some of these have multiple formats. And what a lot of influencers do, and I've seen their packages, is they'll, it is a package. They'll, you know, they have a per post price, but they might have like ways that they group things together with a, you know, with a sort of package pricing. And so if the average person listening to this is kind of just getting started with this, or maybe doesn't have a big budget, your two kind of biggest cost savings for this are finding your own influencers to work with. So you doing that legwork and working with these kind of smaller audiences, because the prices obviously go up from there. The kind of next level, just to kind of for comparison, is that micro influencer. So nano is 500 to 10,000. Micro is 10,000 to 50,000.
Right.
And then you're getting into, for Instagram anyway, instead of $10 to $100 per post, you're getting into $100 to $500 per post. So as the audience goes up on the platform, typically the price per post goes up. But like I said, a lot of these influencers have pricing and they typically do a kind of package because, like I said, most, they're not going to be hired for a singular post. They want an ongoing relationship.
So if you look, so how long do you think somebody's got to give this? 3 months, 6 months, and how much money do they realistically need in the kitty?
Well, the pricing can depend on not just the size of the audience, but what industry the person is in. So there's certain industries, obviously, that, you know, have, you know, higher value products or are more competitive, things like that. The platform, like we just talked about, how basically TikTok was less expensive than YouTube. And that kind of makes sense, right? If you make a YouTube video, that is out there. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. So like, you can make a video and have it be watched and found, you know, years later. With TikTok, that's a little bit harder. So that's why kind of the value of that audience is a little bit higher. And then, so there are some people who say, you know what, try a short-term campaign, especially if you're new to working with someone. And that short-term campaign can be a few days to a few weeks. And the idea is, okay, like, let's test this out and let's be flexible with how we work together based on, you know, kind of how that first little bit goes. But when I was looking this up, I was like, I wonder what the average influencer campaign is. And the number I found was 188 posts. Now, remember back to, you know, 5 minutes ago when we were talking about $10 to $100 per post, 188 posts, like that begins to add up. But the idea is that, like, okay, if I was going to post, if I was the influencer and I was going to post about it twice a day, for about 3 months, it would be about 188 posts. So I think that's sort of like where that number is coming from. But for most campaigns, like I said, you're going to have some kind of ongoing relationship. That said, I understand if you're like, oh, I just met this person, I don't know how this is going to go, I can understand like being a little leery of offering them thousands of dollars, but there might be a way to sort of test it out in a shorter campaign. But it isn't going to be a singular post, and you do want to give it, I would say, at least a few weeks. I would say a few days is not really that much, especially if it's a higher value product or something that people are going to, you know, be continuously, you know, investing in, which is like a membership type product.
So do you think there's people, because some of these micro influencers between 10 and 50, it took me almost 3 to 4 years to get to 2,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. But recently, yeah, it's expanded by, ever since I got past like near the 5,000 past that, it's accelerated quite rapidly. But I've also, over the last 8 months, religiously put 4 videos per week up on YouTube.
That's a lot. Wow.
So I've got over 1,500 videos on my YouTube channel. But it is growing, and I do get actually quality leads from that effort. I also post a lot on LinkedIn and I keep doing it, but I haven't had much from that. It's been mostly YouTube that I've had success, and using SEO content, and SEO and YouTube, they've been the main drivers. So if we go for the micro, do they do a kind of hybrid? Because a lot of these influencers have a email list. So do you think you probably do a deal where,
yeah,
you kind of, they promote on your YouTube channel, but they also promote you through their email list? And is that where also the element of the affiliate marketing? So is it a kind of bundle where they get paid, but they also get the cut of the sale, or, you know, they don't? But I suppose it's all kind of mixed up. And I suppose if you're somebody starting a course and you haven't got a track record, and you're approaching one of these micro influencers, you basically just got to offer them a much better deal than a more established player, which they can show a track record of sales with other influencers, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, you would want to be able to see their results. And I mean, you would want to check things like their engagement, you know, look out for bots on their account, which is, you know, if you check their Social Blade stats and they have these spikes in followers that are like nice round numbers, or, if you read their comments and it seems like really generic comments. So what you want to look for is somebody who like has good engagement, and you check their comments and it seems like people are like leaving real comments and having conversations there. And, you know, like I said, they have a track record ideally of working with brands and they might be able to show you results. But at the very least, like I said, everybody kind of puts their packages together a little bit differently. So they could throw in, you know, an email or, you know, a text marketing arm to their influencing for your brand. They could want to do an affiliate deal. And oftentimes I'm sure that they want to offer their audience something because otherwise, you know, you could just mention the company name and they could obviously just go look it up themselves. But if I type in the code Jonathan and I get 20% off, well, that gives me a little bit of incentive to type it in and make sure they get credit for that sale. So they probably are going to ask you for some kind of deal so that they're able to track the sales, because if they want to, they want to keep working with you. And I think a lot of people, especially ethical people, they only want to keep working with you if they're getting results for you. So the results are for you to track, but it's also for them too, so that they can, you know, remain gainfully employed with you.
Yeah, it's, YouTube, it's a strange beast because fundamentally there's a lot of influencers on YouTube that are selling products and influence about building up your YouTube channel. And to be brutally honest, a lot of their advice that I've watched is pretty mediocre. So I have no idea how anybody really does. I think the thumbnails, I think, you know, there's plenty of resources, free resources that tell you. And I have increased the decency of the thumbnails and just the volume. And but I tend to link it to my posts that I'm gonna, and I'm in a micro sector, you know, people looking to build a membership website, and I review all the plugin services, how to market your membership, and it's never going to be a mega. There's only so many people looking to build a membership website and maybe looking to utilize WordPress for it. But it's also you're in the creator. So I've tried to broaden it out in kind of membership with the creator economy, really, to some degree. So we move on. So we never really clarified what kind of budget, if you're going to try this out, what kind of budget do you need?
I mean, just doing this math, I mean, I would say a couple $1,000s at least.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, that's what the math is doing when I look at the price per post and then how many posts it takes to, you know, maybe get some traction. And obviously, you don't want to just maybe go all in on one singular, maybe you want to try, you know, two or three different people or different companies, you know, depending on how they kind of see themselves.
Well, I think if you're prepared to like lay down like 500 down and also have an affiliate element as well, and then say, well, we do it for a couple months and then we leave it. But if you keep on the affiliate and we'll be back in 3 or 4 months and we might, and we have another go at it. And you approach these people and then you have a Zoom with them and they can see that you're starting out and you're not wacko. because nobody wants to do work with people that are just a pain in the posterior, do they?
Right. I mean, I think I'd go a little higher in the budget personally. I'm into paying like creators, you know, what they're worth. And also, like, I feel like that just kind of sets the, because the thing is, like, we're asking people to make videos, right? Like, in making they have to like learn about your product. They have to like use your product or like, you know, get into your membership. see the subtleties of it. They have to like think through what they want to say about it. They have to record it, edit it. So I don't know. I would maybe go a little higher than 500 personally. I would think like $1,000 per in my own mind as I was going in to kind of negotiate it. But like I said, the thing is a lot of people, like they have their pricing set up. And if, like I said, you're willing to do the legwork yourself and you're willing to look at these people who have smaller audiences, but who have really high engagement.
Yeah. Well, I know there's one individual, he actually took a job as a video influencer for Automattic. And he managed to grow. My intention is to grow the WP Tonic YouTube channel to about 12 to 18,000 by the end of this year.
Nice.
Even if I have to use paid advertising to do that. But he managed to get his up to 18,000 and until he took his full-time job with Automattic. I think he's not promoting his own channel. He was charging $1,500 per video advert. He was producing a video advert for somebody that wanted to market on his channel. And he was charging $1,500. I don't know if that was for per episode or that was for a group of videos. I would imagine a group of videos. But like I say, he had about 18 to 20,000 people. There's
And YouTube is a more expensive channel for influencer marketing just because it has, you know, YouTube videos have that longevity that a lot of social media content doesn't have.
The biggest one in WordPress, he started when WordPress started to get some traction about 8-9 years ago. He's not making many videos now because but it was the foundation. He had no traction in WordPress at all. And it's a guy called David Pesler. And he built up his YouTube channel and it's the biggest in the WordPress space to over 200,000 subscribers. And he used affiliate marketing and he actually bought some plug-in businesses or bought partnerships. And one of them is a very well-known, and they did a deal together and he actually bought in the company and he made a load of money out of it and it financed him buying plugins and building a real business in the WordPress space. But he's very good at, his videos are very good and the audience really likes him. And he built a substantial business on influence, being paid to do placements, but also he made a lot of money out of affiliate marketing where it's still there, but I think it's become very saturated and a horse like whipped to death to some degree, isn't it? But it still has a place, doesn't it?
I think when it comes down to it, if you're going to be working with an influencer, it's like you're a person working with a person. And oftentimes, if you want to work together, you can typically figure out a way to do that that's beneficial for you both. And like I said, a lot of people who do this, who have thought of doing this, have thought through their pricing. So I would say like there's some good like resources out there. Obviously, there's a lot of white papers and stuff. But this particular website that I use, it's fypm.com. And it's an acronym for something you pay me. It's a little expletive you pay me. And they are basically a place where people can share like brand deals they've gotten, like what they've gotten paid and all that. And they have some pretty like specific numbers based on industries, campaign lengths, audience sizes, and that kind of thing. So I've gotten some good information there and it really helped me set up my pricing. Not that I have actually gotten a deal just yet, but I'm in negotiations for a couple right now of potential like, you know, content, content for pay kind of situations. So And I felt very out of depth with pricing that. Like I said, I have a, as running a service,
well, not,
I understand what I would charge to do a service, but I was like, oh, content, like what would that be like? And it just helped me to kind of see what other people were getting.
I've got a small group of people that sponsor the show, and some of them have been with me over 3 years, so they get a very discounted rate and a couple of others. But I have a lot of people in the WordPress space for my other podcast that's bigger than this one, you know, a substantially bigger audience. And they just want to give me, they want me to talk about their plugin or their WordPress service. And they just want to give me a free license. They just want to give me a lifetime free license for one website. And they think I'm going to talk about their plugin on the show or something, or they don't even offer me an unlimited license, unlimited website. But even that I'm probably not going to take, because I don't know if I even like their plugin. I'm very reluctant to recommend stuff to my audience that I don't really believe in, or I don't know anything about it, I never tried it, or I don't know people that I respect that have tried it and they said it's really good.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I have to try everything. That would be incorrect. I would be misleading the audience. But
yeah,
I've got to have signs and through recommendation, or the person has a track record and I've used the products that they have produced, and I know that they produce good quality services and plugins. And all the stuff on my list that I promote, it's all stuff that I've either used or have used, and I know the people that are producing it, and that's why it's on the list. And I get affiliate links. Some of them aren't actually, the bulk are, but it's all stuff that I either offer myself or I've used. So yeah. I think you just, but there's other people that just don't, they just don't care, do they? What if you pay the money, they'll plug it, won't they?
Yeah, and the thing is, like I said, any one of us who's ever tried to build an audience or is in the process of building an audience knows how much work it is. And you know that it just takes, you know, it takes years to get people to trust you, and it just takes a few seconds to lose all that. So I think most people who are in this for a long haul think like you and I do, which is that, like, I have to like the product, you know, I have to trust the company behind it, you know, and I'm not just going to take money from anybody. I think the influencers who are doing well and in it for the long haul think like you and I do, honestly. And you'll probably get a really good sense when you talk to them whether they do think that way or not.
Well, I do have a IME hosting, but I'm in a boutique micro sector of membership and community hosting. The biggest sponsors, I do have a sponsor of this show and other shows that's in hosting, but they're into e-commerce and enterprise level hosting.
Yeah.
So I don't see them as a direct competitor. If they were, right, I wouldn't have them as a, but I have been approached, you know, some of the biggest companies and the most profitable companies are hosting providers in the WordPress space. And a couple of them, not for this show, but for my other show, have approached me, and I haven't taken the deal because they're crappy hosting providers, basically.
Right. And this is why your audience trusts you. And like I said, a good influencer, their audience trusts them, and you'll be able to tell that, like I said, by looking at their engagement, by looking at their comments, and by watching their content to see how they talk about businesses that they partnered with. Like, by doing those three things and your research, I think you'll have
engagement. I know other influencers, you know, on the YouTube channel, on their podcasting is notoriously, it's practically impossible to get any kind of, only time I get active is when I go to WordPress conferences, and I'm almost stopped on a minute by minute, not minute, but three or four times per day by people saying, oh, I listen to your podcast. It's great. I've been listening to it for years. But you hardly hear from anybody. It's the silence when you're a podcaster. YouTube, yeah. There are people that seem to get a lot of comments. I think it depends on what you're talking about and that. I don't know, David, he always used to get a lot of comments. I get a bit, but not as much as him. Right, so we're going to wrap this up, Nicole. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Nicole?
Oh, yeah. You can check out technicalsupport.com, and I'm Technical Support on various social media platforms.
And if you want to support the show, go to the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. It's a totally free resource of WordPress junkies and people trying to build a membership website or community website. It's totally free. And also you can sign up for the WP Tonic YouTube channel. I post a load of stuff there about building a membership website. We'll be back next week with another subject. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.